Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin Podcast.
This podcast is, I think, fascinating, interesting, informative. Chris Sims, who people know, he's a football guy, obviously a former player, works for a lot of outlets, but he had a top 40 quarterback rating. And it's fascinating that some of the quarterbacks in his top 40 haven't even played a second in the NFL, and they're ahead of quarterbacks that have already played in the NFL. But I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I think Chris is a sharp guy. He really does a lot of work. And fascinating, some of the comments about the quarterbacks he rated high. And in Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts not being on the top 40 of his top 40 quarterbacks created a little bit of, I guess, anger maybe. It's like angst. Like, what the heck are you talking about? But we'll get into that. In the midst of Philadelphia going crazy over the lack of, I would say, everything from their point guard, Ben Simmons. The whole thing is a joke. And if you listen back to what Doc Rivers said and what Daryl Morey said, it's so much different than what they had said before. Doc changed his tune. Actually, he's not Doc Rivers. He's Glenn Rivers. Until this team can get past the second round of the playoffs, he's Glenn Rivers. But that being aside, Daryl Morey knows what he has to do, whether he will do it. He certainly won't admit to it, but not being committal kind of answers the question. Ben Simmons can't be on this team, on the 76ers team next year. He can't. He can't. And if he is, that is really going to be a problem for the Sixers, and it's going to be a big problem for the fans. So kind of interesting, some of the things that have gone on, certainly, over the last couple of weeks with the 76ers, but losing that series to Atlanta, just people won't stop talking about it, and they won't stop talking about a dunk that he passed up. Can you imagine a 6'10", 6'11 player passing up a wide-open dunk to pass the basketball to somebody else? It's mind-boggling. But anyway, let's hear my conversation, and you're going to hear some things. You're going to say, what? And then you're going to realize in some of the conversation, he really knows what he's talking about. Let's hear my conversation with Chris Sims. I am here with
one of the geniuses that talk about pro football. He actually played the game, and that would be Chris Sims. Chris, let me just run down, now that you've included so many jobs, Pro Football Talk, NBC Sunday Night on the pre, the halftime, the put, well, all over the place, and you have your own podcast. You're big, and I do appreciate your time, but you have created a little furor here, but I do appreciate your time.
Well, anything for you, man. You're a legend. I'm just working hard trying to be like you, ultimately. That's the goal here in life. But always appreciate you having me on. I enjoy our conversations. And, you know, I would expect a backlash from the Philly fan base. I wouldn't be disappointed if there wasn't one. It's not easy doing these top 40 quarterback lists. It's not, you know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in football right now. There's not an issue with lack of talent at that position. You know, if anything, I would say there's lack of great offensive minds that's holding back some of these quarterbacks to a degree. And, you know, one other thing I'll say, Howard, just before I let you tee off and ask questions and stuff. Well, my rankings, I do want people to understand how I do it. You know, this is no about history. It's, hey, sure, a little bit projection of the future is involved here, right? But I'm basically making my top 40 list as this is my depth chart at the quarterback position. We're all playing on the same team. Nobody has the advantage of, I have the best offensive line and best receivers in football. It's everybody, same team, and 1 through 40, how I see it. And, of course, Jalen Hurts was someone I left off. That was not easy, that I really contemplated and went back and forth with a lot.
You know, I'm going to get to the whys with Jalen Hurts, but I find a lot of your quarterbacks, and I do respect a lot of things you said, especially when before the draft, and I know you look at quarterbacks that come out of the draft, and I know you look at quarterbacks. I actually do respect it. I don't agree with everything, and I'll tell
sure.
You know, some of the things that obviously I would question. You put on your top 40, you have Mac Jones, number 30, hasn't played a second in the NFL. I know you like Kellen Mond coming out of coming into the draft. You really loved him, and you have him at 37. You have Justin Fields at 39, and none of those guys, I don't know, I didn't miss anybody, have not played a second in the NFL. How do you come by, Zach Wilson's up there too. How do you come by that when they haven't translated their game from the college field to the NFL field?
Yeah, no, sure. It's the tough part. There's no doubt about it. You know, and yeah, Trey Lance, he's in there too, right? Just, I think, at 38, I got him. So, yeah, those are always tough ones. The rookies, they haven't played. I understand that. But there's talent and things there for me to go, I don't need to see, you know, Mac Jones or Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence. You know, there's a reason they were drafted where they're drafted. There's a reason why you hear the conversations of pro ready. And that's where, yes, a little bit of like just my life experience. I've been around it my whole life. I played it, like you've said. I've caught passes from Dan Marino and Brett Favre and John Elway and Tom Brady. So I really lived it and experienced it to where, yeah, this is a little bit of a projection. But at the same time, you know, I know what kind of – I'm confident in my abilities to evaluate. I feel like I have a pretty good feel for these guys' talent level, you know, coming into the NFL. And, you know, I guess that's how I would answer it. You know, people went crazy when I made Patrick Mahomes the 30th best quarterback the year before he even played, right? He played that one game at the end of the season. You know, looking back out of it, I knew I should have ranked him higher. I knew he was higher than that. But I just chickened out because of all the things you said. You know, I saw the talent and enough in the preseason and things to go, well, crap, he's better than 20 quarterbacks at least right now in the NFL. So, you know, again, that's the tricky part of this. There is no concrete answer I got for you. That's where I have to kind of depend on my studies, my evaluations and things, and my, you know, my prior history, my life, everything like that.
Well, your top 10 is interesting too. And I talked to Derek Boyko, who you know, who's now with Buffalo, and we were trying to figure out where you're going to put Josh Allen, and we were both surprised when you put him number 2. But I don't want to really dwell on Josh Allen because I think, boy, the step he took last year was really, really good. So I can live with that. But here's where, because this is Philadelphia, And we can't right. stand the stinking Cowboys. And they never win. They never win. And Dak Prescott is number eight. Everybody is, you guys on the air with Florio, and everybody is full. Oh, Dak Prescott this, Dak Prescott there. I've never seen, I shouldn't say I never. There was a guy back with Kansas City. Oh, I forget who it was. Always passed when 300 yards was a big deal. For 300 yards a game, but they were all catch-up points. So catch-up right. yards. I think Dak Prescott might be talented, but why is he number eight when he's never won? He won with the best offensive line, and that year was just perfect
sure.
for him, and he still didn't win.
Well, he was a rookie. It was 13-3. It was an unbelievable rookie year, Howard. You're not taking the context of the situation.
Okay, I'm taking it now. I'm going to give it to you now.
A horrible, stupid game plan that the Dallas Cowboys, they tried to run out the clock on Aaron Rodgers and company. Like, that was stupid. That's all I can really say about that. You know, he played in another playoff game. He beats the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson. And then they go to the Rams, and he plays phenomenal. You know, I challenge people to go back and watch the game and go, you could argue he's one of the best players on the field that night. Now, the Dallas Cowboy defense, again, another area exposed, had the same running play run on them the whole night. They cracked the code and ran one running play the whole night, and Dallas never adjusted or stopped. So, you know, again, this is part of why I like doing this top 40 thing. We put too much team onto the quarterback right now in the NFL. You know, again, We Carson Wentz, the way they played in Philadelphia and the talent they had around him last year and all that, whatever, Jalen Hurts, we could have put some of the top quarterbacks in football in Philadelphia. It wasn't going to look a lot better. There's only so much the great ones can do. You can only make chicken salad out of chicken know what so much. So, you know, and again, let's not forget, you know, Dak Prescott, I understand that. I understand what you're saying, but when I went back and studied what he did last year, too, even in those moments where you're talking about catch-up points and all that, they caught up in all the games. They caught up to where he had the ball miraculously late in the game to maybe win or do that. He was the only positive thing on the football team. You know, their run game is middle of the road NFL now. It's over. Their defense run defense at points last year was like the worst in the history of football. So it's hard to overcome that. And then, you know, I even thought what you thought a little bit with Dak Prescott. But then I went back and turned on games. And I sit here and go, well, yeah, wait, why did they get in a 14-0 hole here or whatever? Okay, yeah, he had an interception or a fumble in one of the games that caused them an issue. But other games, it's first down, completion on first down, completion on second down. Now it's 3rd and 1, they lose 2 yards, and they got to punt it away. Dak Prescott played great. Now the other team goes down and scores right away, and now here he is. He's had the ball once or twice, and he's down 14-0 because his defense did nothing. So he is the team, and he has an unbelievable ability to be extremely accurate throwing the ball aggressively down the field. They are not a dink-and-dunk team. They look for big yards, and right now, as you saw last year, they had a fighting chance and could have won every game he played. When he came out of the lineup, they were arguably one of the worst teams in football. And that's how, to me, he's better than the credit I think people give him credit for.
All right. Well, I think the Dallas Cowboys, because the division's weak, will win. But like they always do, they choke in the playoffs, and they never.
I like that. Hey, I can get behind that as a Giants fan growing up. I can get behind that. I'm with you there.
Yep.
I'm going to pick Washington to win the division there year, though, just while we're on that subject.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Because of their defense and because of Ryan Fitzpatrick?
The defense is special. They improved the secondary, you know, and getting to William Jackson, got a linebacker in the top 20. Those were two big needs. And then offense, you know, offensive line was solid already. And now you added Curtis Samuel to Terry McLaurin, who's a budding superstar, and Antonio Gibson. He was really good at running back last year before he had the turf toe injury. And, yeah, I think Fitzpatrick gives them more than what they've had there to where if I'm taking one right now, I'm taking Washington.
Wow. Well, that's you know what? I like Ron Rivera as a coach. Really do like him. And they really – and I think Ryan Fitzpatrick, I don't know if he's going to get through 17 games, but the guy is just like – he's like the ever-ready battery. It's just you just plug him in and he just goes. And he's successful in most cases. But okay, I won't. I actually hope that the Redskins, or excuse me, the Washington football
team. The Washington team
wins the division. So the Cowboys find another way to choke this year. I was playing golf with Matt Ryan this week and noticed, right. And I didn't make a big point of it, to have him behind Derek Carr is a joke. And I like Derek Carr, but Matt Ryan's a pretty good quarterback. And again, that's only one spot, 14 to 15. But come on now, Matt Ryan, he should have won the Super Bowl if Kyle Shanahan didn't go brain dead on those play calls when they got to the 21. But so,
well, hold on. I'm not going to let you take a shot at my friend. Just go, you know, it was a 28-3 lead. Dan Quinn was making millions and millions of dollars. It's his job to manage the football team. If they wanted to make Kyle the head coach and manage the football team, they should have done that. He's the one that has to go, hey, I'd like you to run it here more. Hey, I'd like to chew clock out more here. Shanahan did what he did all year long, which was attack, and nobody complained all year long until that. That's the head coach's job. You know, we wouldn't sit here and blame Josh McDaniels for game management situations. We would go, what the hell? Bill Belichick, what's he doing? You know, it's one of those things where it's the name Shanahan decided to, you know, stomp all over that because it just is a sexier story than the head coach who was an idiot who didn't manage the game. So I just had to say that. Matt Ryan is awesome, though, getting back to that. He is. He is underappreciated. He makes more plays off schedule than you realize. And that's a tough spot for the rankings there. You know, it is. Those are really good quarterbacks. They are. That's it. Just to me, it talks about the depth of the NFL right now at the position. You know, Derek Carr, he had a phenomenal football season last year. He played pretty good the year before that, too. But I think with Derek Carr, where I just give him the edge a little bit over Matt Ryan at this point, you know, again, is, you know, Matt Ryan has had pretty good weapons at receiver. Mm-hmm. Derek Carr's are kind of still proving themselves. There's nothing special there, that's for sure. And when you break down kind of like Derek Carr's game as far as, you know, of course accurate, but makes more plays with subtle movements and more outside the pocket throws and plays than I think we all give him credit for. And so Matt Ryan and him, it was really tight, to your point, Howard. It really was. Okay. I gave Derek Carr the advantage a little bit because I thought Matt Ryan was a little bit like you talked about with Dak Prescott. Waited too long, too many times to step on the gas pedal. Oh, it's 21-0. Now we're going to rack up yards and points. And it was too late. And a lot of those times, his team didn't come back, right? Derek Carr, to me, had a better feel for that and had a better feel of maybe just making more plays off schedule, especially this year as compared to Matt Ryan. So, I look at Derek Carr as being one of the most underrated quarterbacks in all of football. But, you know, Matt Ryan's not far behind it, and that's a really tough spot. That's Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins,
yeah,
Ryan Tannehill is one of the hardest areas the last 2 years in these rankings.
All right, Chris Sims with us, and now we'll get to the question that Philadelphia went crazy about when they didn't see him on your top 40. And I'm not sure how good Jalen Hurts is going to be. I think the Eagles have to see how he's going to be, and I get all that. But he's, in my opinion, he's certainly better than Tua, who I think is a stone-cold stiff. But that's just my opinion. But you're the expert.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. So why was Jalen Hurts not on your top 40?
They're just – I need to see a little bit more. You know, I think – listen, we're talking about a guy who went 1-3 down the stretch. And I'm not here to sit here and blame wins or losses on the quarterback or do any of that. But it's part of the conversation. And, you know – I think the thing that I look at more than anything, running, pretty damn good. Better than I thought it would be coming out of Oklahoma or Alabama. I wasn't sure he'd be able to do quite what he did last year. So that impressed me. But when you go back and watch some of the throwing and decision-making and all of that, to me, yes, that's just what made – I had to put him on the outside, you know, looking in there. There's way too many – slam dunk, easy completions that I would expect a good senior high school quarterback to make that are not made. And we're talking about defenses, again, where he had the advantage of, hey, we're trying to stop him from running. Let's make a pass defense really easy because we're going to be all about stopping him from the running game and doing those things. He was provided optimal looks in the passing game and all that. So that's really my big question mark. You know, again, as teams get used to his style of play and then the offense itself that you have to run with Jalen Hurts, I'm not sure, and I can't say yet, that I feel like, well, when they stop that, Jalen Hurts will still be able to drop back and make enough throws and do what he's got to do as a pure quarterback to make, you know, the team win or make them successful. And I think that's just a part that I got to see more to believe. And that's why he was just on the outside looking in for me.
Well, yeah, you pissed off a lot of people here in Philadelphia, but that's all right. You do it at other times as well.
Oh, trust me. I'm doing it in every city, I think, except for Buffalo and Kansas City right now. Because even me, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers is my favorite quarterback ever. And I put Josh Allen in front of him. So I got all them pissed off at me now, too. So it's just part of the gig.
All right, so now we're going to deal with some of the other quarterbacks and some of the other things that you did top four.
That's all you got on the Jalen Hurts? You don't want to ask me anything more there? You're good.
Well,
with that?
I do. Okay, I do. I just the thing is, why? What did he not do last year? And I agree, two of the four games weren't that good, and we both agree with that. What didn't he do that you really, and you addressed it a little bit, that you really need to see?
Yeah, I just got to see, you know, just like, you know, there's a level of expectation from an NFL starting quarterback or a high-level backup to where you just go, look, this defense, this route, this play combination or route combination, you know, this should be 99 out of 100 times. Completion, not even thought about by an NFL coach or a quarterback or anything like that. And to me, we're still in the beginning phases of, you know, development there. And that's where I just don't know where it's going to go. It's a motion that doesn't lend itself to being consistent and accurate and always being able to throw the ball with as much power as probably he can really put on the football. And yeah, it also lends it to, the motion lends itself to the ball going all over the place at times. You know, he kind of throws only with his arm. His arm acts kind of a little bit of the independent factor, as I would say.
Interesting.
He doesn't really use the body to throw all the time. And that's where, you know, hey, decisions, missed completions, like I talked about, easy missed completions, you know, interceptions. Wow. Hey, when I went back and watched, there's easily another three or four that hit guys in the chest that could have been intercepted. You know, he had the fumbles to go along with it. Yep. There was a lot of rawness to it still. And I'm not trying to be negative here on Jalen Hurts because there's a lot of good, too. I get that. But I think the raw aspect still just leaves me with too many questions to where that's where I just had him on the outside looking in, you know, behind a Case Keenum and you know, some of those rookies we talked about at the end of the list.
That actually gives us kind of an insight the way you see Jalen Hurts. So now he's got a new head coach. New offensive coordinator, and Nick Sirianni's an offensive guy. How much do you think Nick Sirianni can help him, or is it too fresh, too new for all of a sudden Nick Sirianni to step in and say, all right, he is really going to continue what the Eagles hope is the development of Jalen Hurts?
Yeah, well, the thing I love about Sirianni is he's a game plan specific offensive coordinator, offensive game planner, whatever you want to say there, coming from Frank Reich and all that. When I say that, I mean, like, they're not a team that just goes, we're going to do what we do. This is what we do, and maybe we'll have two or three wrinkles for the game, but, you know, here's our 25 plays we like to run, and we're just going to out-execute you. No, Sirianni's going to come with something that's like, wait, I'm not going to do what I do. It doesn't make sense to do this with this quarterback and this offensive line. He's going to find the right formula and plan of attack that makes sense for the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, not just going to bang his head against the wall and go, well, this is my offense, and everybody has to adjust. I mean, you know, the offensive coordinators and head coaches that do that, they get fired. You got to adjust to your talent on the football field. So he'll do that and come up with game plan-specific things that he knows Jalen Hurts is really good at, mentally, feels comfortable physically doing it, and then he'll formulate off of that. Okay, we did this. Now the next week we'll do this, and I'll have this off of that. And I think that's what I get excited about with Sirianni as an offensive game planner. That's where he's good, and I expect him to help Jalen Hurts. So he's got to do that aspect, and then they also got to just they got to stay on his mechanics like we talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that that one or two things that they just look at to go, wait, if we just harp on this, he certainly seems to be more accurate and consistent. And if he can do those two things, then, you know, maybe Jalen Hurts comes out this year, sets the world up fire. I'll be the first one to sit here and go, damn, I was wrong. I'm glad Jalen Hurts crapped all over me. My assessment was wrong, and I'll be rooting for him because it's certainly not personal.
Well, you know what? That would be an interesting sight to watch. It's just, so where do you think the Eagles finish? And it's, and again, it's, we ask these questions. You sit there with Florio and you all talk about these things. We don't even know what the roster, full roster's like. But the way you look at it now, you know, how do you look at the Eagles this season?
I the Eagles are a work in progress. You know, I just look at it as a year to where, you know, this is you want to win some games, you want to build a little culture, you want to figure out the direction your organization is going in right now and try to build upon that. You know, I think that's where I look at it. You know, I don't expect them to be in contention for winning the NFC East or doing anything like that. I think it's a year about let's figure out the quarterback situation, let's figure out our coach and let him get his feet underneath him that way. And now let's start as they did this offseason to put the appropriate pieces that make sense for this coach and the coaching staff and that vision and everything like that. So I kind of look at it as, you know, I guess the old rebuild, retool type of year for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I don't think they can win the division, but they have an easy schedule. And here's something I always look at because I talk to people that that handicap games and look at the end of the season when a team has less travel miles in the last month of the season and they're a good team, they usually have a good record. You know, the Eagles don't get on a plane for the last 8 weeks of the season. That's mind-boggling. That's an advantage too. And they play the Giants, who I still think, I mean, they got some weapons, but they still a little overrated. They play the Jets. Yeah. Who knows what Wilson's going to do? So it's kind of an interesting dynamic. But I want to deal with Carson Wentz, and that's
okay
because the fans in here just bailed out on him so fast. It was like, I mean, they couldn't jump off that bandwagon fast enough with Carson Wentz. I personally think, but I'm going to ask you, that he's going to have a good year, not just because of Frank Reich. He's got better weapons, better offensive line. He's just got a better team around him. How do you look at Carson Wentz this year?
Yeah, I think Carson Wentz is going to be one of those guys that's going to jump back on the scene and go, yeah, you remember me? I'm a top 10-ish quarterback in football, and I'm still, you know, I'm here to say or stay. You know, we've seen enough from him to know he can do it. I mean, he should have been the MVP of football in 2017.
Yep.
You know, and then 2019. I mean, come on, he carried the team as good as anybody I've seen any quarterback carry any team down the stretch in recent history. I can't think of too many with that cast of characters. And what they did to get in the playoffs, and I know ultimately he got hurt against the Seahawks with the Clowney hit and all that type of stuff. But, man, to me it's just it was a snowball effect. And it was a tough situation for Carson Wentz. Yeah, he got hurt. Now another guy won the Super Bowl. That was hanging over his head. He carries a team that has no business being in the playoffs, and they get in the playoffs, and that gives the team the false, you know, assessment of like, hey, we're not that bad. We're not that far off. We don't need to do a whole lot in this offseason. Oh, yeah, no, you were that bad. Carson made magic happen. He made chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what in 2019.
Yep.
That's why they got in the playoffs. And so now that, like you said it, he's got the support system. He doesn't have the psychology of, wait, the Nick Foles situation. Wait, I finally am on stable ground and I'm the man here in Philadelphia. What? We drafted Jalen Hurts? Huh? That makes no sense. And the other reason I expect success, Howard, is just a little bit when we talked with Sirianni. This offense is going to fit him more. Frank Reich has a great understanding of quarterback talents and what they can and can't do, and he is an amazing week-to-week game planner. I mean, he can reinvent a new offense in a week where you just go, 1 week they play this week, the next week, I mean, 1 week they play this way, the next week they play a totally different way because it's what they had to do to win that football game. And that's where it went back to me, where I went crazy with Carson Wentz. Now, listen, did he help himself last year? No, not exactly. But it wasn't just – it's the pressure of the situation. He was trying to carry the team. He was trying to do too much. And the team didn't help him, of course, with the injuries. But there was a little bit of the this is what we do, this is our offense, and let's just make it work. Oh, yeah, Carson, can you jam in another 7-yard completion into double coverage with nobody open or separated? You know, so there were so many issues there that didn't make sense. And that's why, to me, again, why Nick Foles has come in for in relief of Carson Wentz or even Jalen Hurts last year, and people go, well, the offense looks better. And I go, yeah, I agree. But it's not the quarterback. It's the freaking coach who now has changed the offense because he goes, wait, you know, we don't have our star quarterback, so let's play this way on offense, a little bit more of a team game that makes sense for the talent of our total offense instead of just one player. And, yeah, the team and the way you were set up last year, they were better off with Jalen Hurts at quarterback in a lot of ways. I mean, there was you weren't going to win any games dropping back to throw the ball 45 and 50 times a game. You know, so they did a disservice to Carson Wentz is my opinion on that matter, and I expect him to have a really, really good year in Indianapolis.
Chris, it's a different world in the NFL. Everybody demands trades. I think Aaron Rodgers is either going to play for Green Bay, give up $35 million and sit out. I don't think there's any other options. I don't think you can pull Russell Wilson all of a sudden now. Oh, I never asked to be traded. Oh, really?
Yeah, sure.
Really? I mean, stop this nonsense. What do you think about these guys, that the quarterbacks that all of a sudden, and Aaron Rodgers I love too. Russell Wilson's kind of, you know, he's on the backside of his career because he's been hit so many times. What do you think about all these players that say, all right, I'm not coming in, I want to be traded? Deshaun Watson's going to be suspended before he's traded anyway. But sure. What do you think about all these guys?
Yeah, it's different. You know, I mean, I'm not as old school as you, but I'm still old school, where, you know, I grew up in an era with my dad and all that, of course, where you never saw stuff like that happen, especially at the quarterback position. But it is a different world. You know, it's a different world in a lot of different ways. You know, yeah, it's the NBA effect, certainly. Why did LeBron James do it? Well, because LeBron James started doing it. Why? Because social media and everything in the world was going, you can't win the big one. You're a loser. You're a loser. And he's on every meme. And he's going, well, I guess I'm going to have to make my own luck, because not all of us get drafted by the Lakers like Magic Johnson and have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and James Worthy and Cooper and an amazing team already. Or what Larry Bird fell into with the Boston Celtics. Or what Brady fell into with the New England Patriots. So these quarterbacks start to feel it's the magnitude of the attention this gets right now. And, of course, now with Brady winning 7 and some of these other guys going, wait, I'm as talented as Tom Brady, if not better, and I think Aaron Rodgers is better. He's going, what the hell? Okay, my team never goes all in on a trade or doing anything in free agency. They've done nothing. He just carries the team always. So I think that's where the world has changed a little bit, because we are holding these guys to a different standard than ever before, and they're becoming internet memes and everything else if they don't win the big one, and they get blamed. And as you know, they shouldn't. The guy who went to the Super Bowl last year, Tom Brady, had an epic meltdown in the NFC Championship game. He crapped the bed and peed down his leg late in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. But people give him credit for winning the game. Aaron Rodgers played almost perfect. He had an interception that should have been pass interference, and everybody calls him a loser.
Yep.
And that's why we are where we are right now, because people don't look at reality anymore. They just go, wins, losses, awesome, horrible, screw you, internet meme, let's move on with life. And these athletes aren't going to stand there and have their name like that. You know, they're going to try to make their own luck with this from now on.
All right, I'm going to leave.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It absolutely makes sense. And, you know, and the world has changed. And I don't know if – I don't think it's for the better. What do you mean, I don't know? I don't think it's for the better.
No, I hear you. Like, Like, if Dan Marino and John Elway were playing in this era right now, I don't think they would have stand pat either. They'd be like, you know what? You got to trade me Miami or Denver, right?
I mean, yes. I mean, Dan Marino, you know, he had every right. He only got to, and I was there at that Super Bowl. That was before your, I guess it was like a few years before your dad played in that Super Bowl in Pasadena.
Yeah.
And he never got back. He didn't win the game.
No.
You know, so he, if anybody, guy was one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, and he never got back. And it can't be his fault.
Of course not.
I know. It's
right.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, like Elway being 0-3. Was it Elway's fault? Of course not. Oh, yeah. Then he got a head coach and a running game and a defense, and he went 2 in a row.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't. He didn't change. He actually got worse when he won 2. He was better when he lost the 3, but the team around him wasn't good.
Exactly.
So that's just, yeah, it's not everybody always realizes that stuff.
All right, I'm going to leave you with this because I know you know everybody, but because obviously that's what you do. Joe Judge, because it's the Giants in your blood, the New York Giants in your blood. When you see him, just tell him, and he knows that I went off on him, when he whined like a little child and a baby at the end of the season when Doug Peterson put in Nate Sudfeld for the fourth quarter. You know, you got to play. He was going to put in Sudfeld anyway. If he'd done it at halftime, we wouldn't have said anything. I mean, Hurts only had 72 yards going into that last quarter anyway,
right,
and he missed
right.
a big
Seven
touch.
For 17, missed a wide-open touchdown pass,
yes.
right?
Yes,
thank
so, you.
So, you
know what? I tweeted out there, Joe, how about winning more than 6 games and stop your whining? You know, you win more than 6 games, you don't have to worry about that. And he came from Bill Belichick's staff, so he's already got a strike against him. And even though he's from Philadelphia. He's got a strike against him, too. And just I'll leave you with this. I don't think Daniel Jones is ever going to be what they want him to be, even though you have him in the top 30 of your top 40.
Listen, it's a huge year for Daniel Jones. Yes. I'll say that. He has no excuses this year. It's year 2 in the Jason Garrett system. Saquon's back healthy. Evan Ingram's a good tight end. He's got Kenny Golladay and Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard, a receiver. There's no issues there. So I'm with you. And there's a lot of things he does really well, but when things aren't perfect, he does not know how to play backyard football. And that's, to me, part of football right now in 2021. You know, you're just not going to be a robot and be able to play pocket passing quarterback unless you have the best offensive line in football. And there's only a few teams that have that. Joe Judge, I love him. I worked with him up in New England. I mean, I don't know. I would expect a man from Philly to have that type of reaction that he had. I mean, he was pissed off. He didn't want, and then he doesn't like the Eagles at this point. So I think, he was just in the moment. But I really do respect him, and I think he's got the Giants going in the right way, in the right direction.
When you worked up in New England, did they cheat then, too?
You're funny. No, they did not. They did not. Well, I mean, listen,
so that
I don't
the answer
know.
Is so then they this. Didn't cheat then, but they have cheated other times.
Well, listen, I get a lot of crap for the, you know, I'll say this. New England and Belichick I was amazed with how strict they were with the rules when I was there. I really were. They follow every rule in the book. Now, I know there's the Spygate thing and all of that, but if you really look at the rules and the bylaws of the NFL, it wasn't – he kind of found a loophole that was not addressed there.
A loophole.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. But then – you know, we would, like, if we had to want to have a poll on the U.S. Open, like a pool, right? Let's all take 2 golfers and bet $10 and see who wins the U.S. Open or whatever. We would get an email from Belichick and, like, there's none of that going on in the, NFL grounds. You can't even do that. So they were all over that stuff. But, you know, one area I will never stick up for them for, and you've probably heard me say this, I mean, Brady took the air out of the football, and that'll always bother me. Because I really respected him and liked him, and he does, and I still like him. And he didn't need to do it, as we saw 2 weeks later in the Super Bowl against the Seahawks.
Yep.
But the air was taken out of the football, and that always will bother me about the New England story. But that's more of a Brady thing than a Belichick and the rest of the organization.
Chris, it is always not just a pleasure. It's fun talking to you because, not everybody agrees on everything.
But I think you're pretty sharp. Not pretty sharp. You're really sharp at trying to explain things. You may be wrong. We all have our. You know, I was wrong 10 years ago on something. I forget what it was.
Hey, that's right. It's all right. And I always self scout myself. I say that, right. And I welcome the conversation. But don't just get personal and start throwing four-letter words at me. That's when you know you're crazy on social media.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Say hello to Mike Florio. We didn't get off on the good foot, and I'll let him tell this story, because I killed him on a blog he had. And then we sat down. Derek Boyko got us together at the Super Bowl when I was doing a show from the Super Bowl. We sat down and we hashed it all out.
Good.
We have a history. But I like Mike. I like you. I like you two guys together. And I love you on Sunday nights as well. I love everything you do. You learn
Thanks,
more.
Howard.
You learned a lot from your dad. I'll give Phil some credit here.
You definitely got to give him some credit. You're right. I learned a lot from him. There's no doubt. I got my big mouth from him, too. So it all works good.
Okay. So my son will be in New York overseeing WFAN. He just got that job.
Awesome.
And I'm sure there'll be a lot of stuff with the Giants. The problem is now he's got to be a New York fan rather than a Philadelphia fan.
Yeah, eat it. I love it.
All right. Hey, Chris, a pleasure. And thanks so much for your time. And hopefully we'll do it again sometime during the season.
Definitely, Howard. Anytime you want me, man. Be good. Thanks
okay.
for having me.
You too. Thanks.
Very interesting. If I remember hearing him right, he said a senior football quarterback would make some of the throws that Jalen Hurts didn't make. So obviously he has a problem with his mechanics. But talking about the other quarterbacks around the league, I think Tua is a stiff. And I do think Jalen Hurts is better than Tua. You know, we can disagree on some things. We can disagree on the rankings of some things. Some high, some low. Some in there that shouldn't be in there. But he does think Carson Wentz, some other things that I got out of that, he does think Carson Wentz is going to have a good year. I think he's going to have a good year, too. I guess I'm not surprised that he thinks the Redskins will win the NFC East. When you look at their defense, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better quarterback than they've had. And the NFC East is really not a strong conference, a strong division within the conference. And the Eagles, there's a lot of things that have to go right. I think he was right on there. And I think he doesn't think the Cowboys are going to win the NFC East. But I think people go a little overboard on Dak Prescott. And you heard me in our conversation. So some fascinating things from Chris Sims. And I appreciate his time and his insight into football and certainly being a quarterback. His father was a quarterback. I think he knows a little about it. But I appreciate the time with Chris Sims, and I hope you enjoyed it. And thanks for joining us in what was another edition of the Howard Eskin podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.